All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Venus Index podcast. I am Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone, and we're pretty excited because there's only 10 days left until the end of the contest. We're going to go over a couple things today, just kind of project out and give you some last-minute advice, tips, and tricks, and some things to look out for. And then we're going to transition a little bit because there's only going to be 38 days until the next contest starts as well. Remember, each of these are split apart by 4 weeks. That's the only way we can get 10 in, or excuse me, three in per year, and then have it end right before American Thanksgiving. So John, I know you have a couple of just kind of pitfalls you want to go over really quickly. Like I say, don't get us wrong. We're not trying to, you know, demotivate you by any means, but we already know what's going to happen. We've seen it time and time again. When it gets crunch time like this, some of the opinions and thought processes of what to do now, and sometimes it actually hurts more, a lot more than it helps. So I guess we'll go ahead and talk about a lot of that type of stuff.
Yep. Okay, so like we said, 10 days to go. Don't try to overdo it now. So there's at this point, adding in, if you want to add something, I would only add low intensity cardio at this point. I wouldn't add in anything higher intensity. You can continue on with the workouts as scripted. I wouldn't add extra weight training, and I wouldn't add extra high intensity cardio on top of whatever it is that you're managing now. At this point, I'm assuming you've found at least some kind of groove where you know what you're capable of in a given week without overexerting yourself to the point where you're overstressed, you're losing sleep. Like you don't want to mess up your system on a whole. So whatever you add, if you add anything this week, I would only make it something low intensity, simply because that's likely manageable without throwing your whole sort of program over the edge, so to speak. If you know something, right now the key is to just stay on the diet or stay on whatever your diet protocol is between now and the end, because that's going to have a bigger impact day to day on the way you're going to finally look than, you know, a few extra hours of any kind of exercise. So if you had an inclining to somehow add extra exercise, and you were thinking maybe some more weights or some kind of extra higher intensity cardio, I would be very careful about that, only because if you know that it tends to, and this is where you have to be honest, if you know it tends to cause you to want to overeat or makes it challenging to stick to your diet, don't do anything at this point, or don't add anything at this point that will really challenge your ability to stick to your diet for these last 10 days. Now, this is also where you can kind of tighten up socially too, like, you know, pass on a few social events at this point. It's only 10 days. You'll be able to see all those people again. Any event that comes up, it's not the only event in the world. Like, you can always see it. It can happen again, you know, unless you're getting married in the next 10 days. There's nothing that's that important that you can't skip. And I even brought that up because one of the Adonis guys is getting married, and he actually had to skip out on this contest, and he was literally on the fence. And I'm like, dude, you go ahead. Like, don't bother trying to compete and get married all at the same time. That's just too much. But, you know, other than once in a lifetime items like that, you can skip just about anything else between now and then. Also, probably lean on whoever you're using as your team or your social support. You can lean a lot harder on them now just for these last 10 days. And then beyond that, just be clear. Like I said, if you add anything, I suggest only adding low intensity stuff. I wouldn't add extra weights. Naomi really pushed it last week, and it seems like she might have pushed it a little too hard. So, I mean, and that's fine if you want to experiment, but right now is probably not the best time to be experimenting with your limits as far as training goes, because you also don't want to get hurt and then kind of get a little down on yourself for getting hurt. It sucks when we get hurt, so we want to avoid all of that. So the idea here is to try to cruise into the last 10 days, so to speak. It doesn't mean it's still not effort. We all know, like, the dieting is still effort, and staying consistent takes quite a bit of effort. What I'm trying to say is don't add in so much extra work, or don't try to get a month worth of change in this last 10 days. Accept the fact that it's 10 more days, and do your best to make all 10 days a positive forward day. Like, now is not the time to even have a neutral day. Like, every day should be positive now. And that should help a lot. And And if that just means status quo, not adding anything, not taking anything away, just simply not having a neutral or negative day, then that's great. That's great too. So kind of be realistic with your energy and be realistic with how much stress is in your life and how much stuff you're kind of have to deal with over the next 10 days and just manage it accordingly. If you have a kind of a low stress, low work day and you feel like you can get two workouts in, go ahead. But if you have another day that's just pretty busy, don't feel like you have to sort of do something extra on that day. Just try to get to the other end of these 10 days without having a negative day.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember stress is stress. And we say this time and time again, it doesn't matter if it's emotional stress, mental stress, physical stress. You can only handle so much. And, you know, when you're actually competing in a contest like this, and for the vast majority of people, there's a pretty significant fat loss compartment there. Your recovery is diminished a lot when you're riding a little bit lower on calories. I mean, it's just the way it is. Me personally, my kind of mantra or rule of thumb is that, you know, my intensity level goes up with how much I eat. So as far as how hard I can really be able to push, because I know like every time I get hurt, it seems like it's because I'm lower calorie. It just always seems that way. I've just been thinking about that over the last couple of weeks. Is that the times I get hurt tend to be when that happens, and because I'm still trying to handle the same amount of volume and stuff like that. So yeah, I agree 100% with what John's saying. You've got the you know, walking, maybe put it up on an incline, maybe max about maybe 6-7 something like that, tops, 20-30 minutes 40 if you want to do that. But, you know, again, you know, don't give yourself shin splints or anything like that. Remember, there's still a recovery aspect to it. We're talking low intensity, not medium or anything like that. You should be able to talk to somebody when you're doing it.
Like, for instance, when I did my last cut down and Allie was training with me, we were doing two-a-days in the last couple of weeks, maybe the last 20 days or so. But and not every day. We were just, again, we were doing it when we had days when we could handle it. So I'd say 3 or 4 days a week we could get it done, and then the other three or four days, the one workout was enough just based on how busy the rest of the day was. But when you can fit it. Just like I said, my recommendation is just all low intensity. If for any additions, just keep it low.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's really interesting, especially with Pilon doing a lot of research now on inflammation and even connecting stress across. Now we're talking even some things about depression, which is really interesting. So I think what we're going to find is kind of the yin and yang approach to working out, kind of like what we talk about, is really going to be optimal. Having some higher intensity cardio every once in a while is great, but you know, stacking everything on top of everything, just intensity on top of intensity on top of intensity, just doesn't give you that inflammation helping lower intensity stuff. Kind of like I say, that yin and yang. I mean, you're obviously an expert in this type of stuff, but I mean, you're working different energy pathways and stuff like that. I'm sure that makes a difference.
We don't need to get into that. That'll be too complex to talk about now, but in general, the point is moving towards the final day of the contest. That's stressful enough as it is.
Sure.
So you don't want to, and you're probably training as hard as you've ever trained already, and you're doing something with your diet that you've probably never done before, which is stressful too. So, yourself. Who knows? Maybe a couple high intensity workouts actually calm you down somehow. If that fits for you and it doesn't stimulate your appetite and it doesn't make your life more difficult, knock it out. It's just my guess is most people can't actually add in more intense stuff, more intense workouts at this point. That to me, that I would guess most people, that's just pushing them to their edge. I haven't seen too many people who can actually add that at this point. Most people can only add, if they're adding anything, low intensity stuff. And then as far as getting ready for the actual photo shoot, want a shout out to Kat. Thanks for putting up those pics. That was really cool. And everyone should check them out. She put up a few pics with some interesting poses. It looked like she had some pretty good lighting done. She had a white backdrop. I think she also had a black backdrop too. So definitely experiment with that sort of stuff. Throw up a black sheet, like I said. You can do a white one if you want, but black seems to work pretty well. And and just mess around with the way you're posing, and like she even pointed out, whether or not you suck your stomach in will totally change. So you don't have to totally, you don't have to really manipulate it too much. Just kind of just be yourself and just kind of keep moving around and see where you end up. Her pictures were a good example of just simply just having one foot forward versus the other. It really changes the way you look in a slight twist. So, and I think we said before, even just scanning magazines will give you a good idea of like poses. Like if you just go through a few fitness mags one day, and that'll help. Now, as far as the actual final pictures, we tell the guys to take pictures over the course of 3 days. You can do the same if you're going to do any kind of water deplete or anything like that. It's totally up to you. The guys tend to get lean enough that water depletion will really actually show through for them. It's not usually necessary for girls unless you're all the way to figure fitness competition level. There'll be a few people who are lean enough to actually see that, but in general, it may not quite show through. But it's still worth trying just to see what it looks like. So a round of picks after a 24-hour fast, and then another round of picks after you eat after the fast, and then have a look at what you look like after that too. So I would say take a 2 or 3 day stretch starting, if your final picks are next Wednesday, I would say you can start anywhere from like anywhere on Monday or Tuesday and just take rounds of picks just to see what you look like before and after fasting, and then after eating after the fast, just to see what happens. By now you should also have a rough idea of how you look in those states anyways. So it's still interesting to see, just to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, definitely. And remember, this is a fun time for you. I mean, you've come a long ways and there's a lot to celebrate and a lot to think about. So, you know, instead of, you know, some people may stress a little bit, I say focus on smiling a lot more over the next 10 days. Just have fun with it. Smile more. Enjoy it, get some good laughs in and things like that. Just kind of keep it. Remember, it's a dance. It's a very fluid process. You know, you're kind of in and out. So it's, even though it kind of sounds brute force a lot of times, the way we talk about it, it's really not. It's a really fluid process. So you just kind of keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. So. You might as well take as many pictures as you want in as many different outfits as you want. That has nothing to do with us. That's just for your own. If you're going to have it all set up and the lighting all done anyways, you might as well just rattle off as many pictures as you can. I mean,
yeah,
it'd probably just be more fun anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess now we're going to transition a little bit and start talking about some managing of expectations and things like that. You know, we see time and time again, I don't have an example right off the bat, but it seems like a lot of people have talked about, obviously they're starting to compare themselves to other people and comparing their results to, you know, others. And some of the people are started off in better shape and things like that. And so one of the things we want to talk about right now, especially since, again, we've got 10 days left in this one contest, but don't forget that there's another one coming right off, you know, 28 days after this one ends. So now's the time somehow, some way, you're feeling like you still haven't got it yet, you know, with diet and things like that, and really, really kind of figured out how to maneuver and weave these things into your lifestyle. Remember, we're not talking about, you know, totally changing and turning your life upside down and, you know, like the bully and shaking you upside down for your change. I mean, that's not even close. So, you know, you've still got some time to go ahead and gather up that momentum for the next contest. And now's the time to do it. Because like I say, a lot of people in the past, especially on the men's side, and I think even on the women's side this time around, what we'll find is that, you know, they said, all right, day one of contest is when I start contest. And that's kind of not the way it works. You know, you build up. And so that when day one of contest hits, you're running, you know, where everybody else is walking. So,
and I'm sure a lot of people have looked at some of the guys' transformations who actually went through two back-to-back contests. Yeah. So, some people here might want to do that as well. It doesn't mean you discount the first contest. It just means you just roll right through to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like we said, any change is a good change.
Yeah, you know, I've put up a graph a couple of times, at least on the Adonis side. Maybe we could put it up maybe next week or something like that for this side. But you know, there's kind of a learning curve. But then once you get your streak down and your momentum going and how you your life navigation skills, I guess you could say, once you get that down and you can kind of get in that groove, it just takes off. And so the hardest part for a lot of people is just finding the groove. And that's not necessarily just in this avenue. It's in all avenues. I mean, no matter what you do, it's learning how to navigate whatever you're trying to do until it's kind of like surfing the internet. First time you ever did it, I mean, you were like, what in the world? But now you just kind of cruise along like mindlessly because it's easy. Yeah. So this is kind of some of the same things. The biggest thing is we want to keep everything positive. Because even with us, and I was talking to John about this earlier, I think everybody has a really interesting opinion of themselves and how they need to be right. And we talked about this a little bit earlier before we got on this call, that you know, most people think they're right and they argue about being right. But the fact is that if you were right 51% of the time, that's just a little bit over half. I mean, you'd be just... everything would be amazing, right? Nobody's right that much. In fact, with us, even some of the stuff we do business-wise, I mean, if we're right 10% of the time, we're doing great. That's 10%. So, you know, just keep that in mind. If somehow, some way you start to get down on yourself because your results just aren't flashing or showing, you know, coming to fruition the way you think they should, I mean, don't beat yourself up that much. You just may be one tweak away or one lifestyle kind of tweak or some type of maneuvering that you need to take care of, and then you're off to the races. It could be just that simple. And so
it's also a matter of perspective.
Yes.
It makes sense. I mean, go look back at your before pictures or any picture you have from where you came from. That always helps, because since you see yourself on a daily basis – and most of us are our own worst critics anyways, it's hard to on a daily basis, it's hard to see how far you've come. Like, I mean, you're always just going to find what you don't like and not necessarily be, you know, just stand totally impressed with yourself. Like, that just doesn't even sound right. But you should be, or you will be, when you look at the comparison. But if you take the comparison away, all you're going to see is where else you can still improve. Like, you'll just forever nitpick. Sure. At yourself. I've had a girl who competes in figure modeling ask if we can help out, and she's going to be using Venus, which is great. And she sent me some pics of Marley. I'm looking at you. I don't know if you're even listening right now, but obviously I'm talking about you right now. Anyway, so she sent some pics of her somebody who wins her class at the pro level, who she's sort of chasing, and she's got, you know, she's got what she thinks she needs to do to improve versus that girl. Now, in my perspective, I personally like Marley's physique better than the girl she's chasing. But you know, she's going after a particular look, so she's obviously critical of her physique. But to any other person looking at the two of them, you couldn't find fault with either. So, like, she's the only person that can actually find fault with her physique. Not fault, but like sees where the improvement needs to be made. But the average population would look at both of them and be like, well, I don't get it. How could either of them possibly improve? So it doesn't matter how far you go. Even all the way to the pro level, people are still finding, or that individual will still find something that needs improving, something that they were like, oh, that needs to come up or that needs to change. So that, like, it kind of never ends. It's more a matter of how comfortable you are with where you're at versus where you'd like to go to. So that's kind of... I don't know. There's nothing else to be said about it. It's just a matter of being grounded in having some degree of grounded perspective on it.
Sure. Well, the biggest thing for a lot of people is understanding what assumptions they're working with. A lot of people never even consider this, but you know, you're going through life right now with a certain set of assumptions that you just have been living with for a really long time, and you really don't challenge those assumptions. One of the worst things that people can say, especially when you're trying to learn a new skill, and this is a skill, is I already know that. It's like the worst thing anybody can ever say, because it immediately shuts off any type of learning or anything like that. And I think that's why a lot of people who actually re-listen to podcasts over and over again, even the same ones, just kind of get the exposure. I think I think that might maybe why they tend to get better results than some of the other people. It's because they're continually being exposed to the same messaging. And so a lot of the assumptions that they were working with before are getting replaced with some different assumptions or rules, or I don't want to call it rules, but you know, just philosophies that are just working better.
Oh yeah, I'll bet any money if everyone who's gone through this transformation now or gone through this contest, if they go back and listen to all of our back podcasts, both these ones and the Adonis ones, it'll all be totally different. Like, you'll be listening along and you're like, oh, now I totally get why they're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll pull different stuff out of it because your perspective's totally changed because you've gone through one of these. But until you go through it, you're kind of – a lot of it might just sound theoretical and you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe. I don't know. Whatever they're saying sounds neat, but does that really work that way? And then you go through it and it makes way more sense. And then all of a sudden you can get more out of it. It's like rereading books. Like, mm-hmm. after time, as you like grow, mature, and learn, you go back and what you – you'll take different stuff out of it each time. So it might even be worth re-listening to a few items just because you probably draw different things out of it.
Oh, yeah. Once your perspective changes, everything changes. I mean, perspective is
everything.
Is everything for the most part, yeah. As an example, I take notes when I go to seminars and I keep them. And I revisit from time to time. And I think about 3 months ago, I – just opened up. I was cleaning up my office. I was cleaning up my office, and I saw this notebook or whatever, and I opened it up. Because I was curious to what it was, and it was some of the notes I had taken from a seminar. And this was 3 years ago. I had taken this seminar, and I'm just rereading some of the stuff, and I was like, this makes so much more sense now, mm-hmm. because I was. As I was writing this stuff down, I remember going, man, when are they going to get to the good stuff, right? That when are they going to get to all the tricks and tips and stuff like that?
You weren't even educated enough to know that they were handing you the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My perspective, now that my perspective has changed a little bit, you know, I look at it and I'm like, okay, that makes that's a lot deeper than I gave it credit for, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our stuff is the same way. I mean, if you're coming to this and you've never – kind of experience what we're about and what our kind of core philosophies are at the beginning, it's a kind of a lot of pushback mentally because for a lot of reasons, the one that I can think of first and foremost is, you know, most people just don't want to admit that they've been doing something wrong for a long time because they take offense to it. Like it's something that they've done to themselves or that they suck or whatever it is. And as we talked about before, that's just not the case. I mean, it doesn't mean you're good.
Yeah. it's just I don't know if the word's embarrassing. It's a little tough to admit that you've put effort in kind of the wrong direction and thought you were doing something that was going to get you to a particular goal and realize you were actually going away from your goal, but you wholeheartedly believed you were doing the right thing and sort of didn't. I can't remember who put the post up. I apologize for not remembering. But it was about doing too much weighted ab work, and it was making her waist blocky. Mm-hmm. And she was really appreciated our system for not focusing so much on doing abs, and now her waist has come down.
Right.
But a lot of girls are duped into that belief that all you do is cardio abs, and then you end up with that skinny arms, skinny legs, huge midsection, like the reverse of the Venus index is what you end up. You end up with this rectangle with stick arms and stick legs is kind of like what you end up with, and. Some women, and they don't know why they don't like their physique. They're like, I train hard, I do all my cardio, I do tons of ab work, why do I have a big blocky midsection, and how come I don't like the way my arms and legs look? And it's because they've been following the wrong advice, even though they're putting all the work in. And then to read our stuff and find out that was the opposite of what they should have been doing, that might feel kind of, you might, like, you know, even though you're by yourself reading, you might feel a little embarrassed. You're like, oh yeah, like what was I doing? So, like, we've had guys that way who just didn't want to admit that the workout they were doing was wrong or that bulking and getting fat and then trying to take they just didn't want to admit that the last 2 years of their life were essentially a waste, or at least were, might even be negative, like counterproductive, because now they have all this fat to get rid of.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you guys don't have someone telling you need to gain fat to get big. Like, guys go the complete wrong direction. They actually put on pounds and pounds of fat on purpose and then take it back off. So at least you guys don't have that problem.
Yeah, which is great because that's a mess.
People who've convinced guys to do that should literally be held liable. Like that's.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's detrimental to someone's health.
It's totally. It's detrimental to their health. So anyways, we're straying off the topic here. But in general, people will go to that length. They'll actually, at least on the guy side, they'll go all the way to the point of gaining fat, thinking they're gaining muscle and actually adversely affecting their health. They have to buy like big clothes, their fat clothes and all this stuff. So it's interesting how messed up the type of advice people actually follow and what it actually does to their bodies. So,
yeah. Well, what's interesting is up today on the guy side is a podcast on it censored on black market drugs and things like that. And one of the things that we talked about in that is that most guys have more, even guys that are in great shape have more in common with a 400 pound couch potato than they do with a steroid using bodybuilder by a long shot. And so a lot of that advice kind of goes over. I'll tell you what's really interesting. I'm going to call this a privilege because it talks about this, but I had the privilege one time of when I was at a seminar, it was just like what we're talking about. There were mics on each side of the stage and, the guy, that was doing all the presentations, he's like, I want to help you guys out. So if you have questions, why don't you come to each side of the mic or each side of the stage and, we'll take up 10 people or so and you can ask your questions and we'll brainstorm and try to come up with a solution for you. And I remember this is probably, like I say, one of the best things I ever saw for myself. There was a guy who goes up to the front. I'm not sure if I talked about him this side before. I think I've told you, but a guy goes to the side and he's asking his question about what he should do. And the guy gives him his advice, and the first thing the guy did was he didn't try to work with the person's advice. The guy who we've paid all this money to come see, the first thing he did was try to defend why he was doing what he was doing, which was really interesting because the whole reason he went up there was to ask the guy what he was doing wrong. And so the guy said, okay, well, here's from my perspective, and it wasn't even a challenging thing, but it's like, from my perspective, here's what I see that you could probably improve upon, and this will probably help you out. And then the guy literally, it was almost a fight. And so finally the host was like, well, if you've got this handled, why did you even come up here and ask the question?
And yeah, it was
so surreal for me to watch that because I do the same thing and I think we all do, but to watch it, and see somebody, and I think about it all the time. That's the one thing I think of. It's like, okay.
And just remind yourself never to be that guy.
Yeah. Don't be that guy.
Or don't be that girl.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. So that's kind of what we're talking about with managing expectations and kind of holding on to things that you really haven't, I don't need to hold on to anymore because they're just detrimental to your progress and even your sanity.
Yeah, you don't. What you did in the past doesn't mean it has to happen in the future.
Yeah, I mean, and the biggest example I think from this perspective would be we don't really care how you eat. You can adopt any philosophy you want, right? But for a lot of people that eat a certain way. They kind of adopt that and indoctrinate themselves into that kind of reality and that – I'm going to call it religion because it's kind of religion, right? Mm-hmm. But what we see a lot of people that all of a sudden they start eating some way and something happens. Like I think like vegans sometimes have developed certain food allergies and things like that. And it once it happens, it's just this – it's like a shock because they've been believing this for so long and now – when they find out it's not true, it's almost earth shattering.
Mm-hmm. But they'll and I've read a few accounts where vegans have tried to defend it, even though it's unhealthy, and or at least they're doing it in an unhealthy pattern. And their ideal of what they're doing versus the biology of what's really happening don't match up. But their belief system is so entrenched, they can't see that they're actually eating in an unhealthy. They're actually becoming sick, and they can't see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, but it has to be good. I believe the rhetoric that it's good for me. But, your blood work comes back and you're low in iron and this is going wrong and that's going wrong. Like, how can you not see that it's wrong? So it's people will follow a belief system right to their grave sometimes. So it's, belief is powerful. So you have to be kind of careful who you listen to.
Yeah, it really is.
Anyways, yeah, we're kind of. kind of going all over the place here.
Well, at this point, we're talking about managing expectations. I guess it all kind of relates back into it.
I do want to catch up with a couple of items here as far as what to do with the contest. So there, there's a few things. There was a few things that came up. The idea of using your real name or your forum name, like your handle, and with the photos. And I guess handle's okay for submitting. But obviously, when you're submitting your contest photos, label the zip file or label the photos before and like all the pose, whatever pose you're in and before and whatever pose you're in and after. So when I get them, I know with your name and before. So if whatever the pose is and your name and before and whatever the pose is and your name and after. And then if you're going to zip all that up into a file, zip the file with your name and label it with your name as well so I can find it. Because I get enough of these things that it's a mess for me trying to find them when people send them in just with the default setting on the camera. So it's just like, 10041 and everyone's picture's labeled like that. So it's hard for me to find everything. So definitely put your name on everything and the pose and the before and the after name. And if the pic, whatever picture you have with the newspaper, label that one too. So at least I know what I'm looking at. The contest essay is required for both the open as well as the before and after. And that's just 250 words about your experience with just going through our system and, how it worked for you, how you feel about yourself and how the whole process was. As far as supplementary or extra poses, Jim Pixie, I'm obviously answering your questions right now. You can throw in any extra pose you want. Obviously, certain people, especially Jim Pixie, will be aware of this. Her back double bicep pose already looks really good, so she knows what she's doing. So you can send in any of the poses you want. You can even bounce over to the Adonis, I'll put up the link to it, but I put up a posing tutorial with Eric Day. And if you want to see what some of the standard bodybuilding poses are, you can look, but they're not required, but you can throw those ones in. Beyond that, all of this stuff, when I say submit, that gets emailed to me directly. So that's how you have to submit them in. And that's at my address, john@adoniseffect.com. So that's kind of how everything gets sent in. And just send it all in as one big zip file or however many files it takes.
Yeah, midnight Eastern.
Midnight Eastern on Wednesday. So and again, if you're going to do a few rounds of picks, like a couple of days in a row there, just make sure you have the newspaper, the current day's newspaper in each round so we can match them up.
Yep. Very, very simple. Yeah, definitely make sure you rename those files. That's just a chaotic mess.
Yeah, it's a mess if you don't do it.
Yeah, it's tough, and the bad part is that it's actually bad for you because if we can't see all your picks, we have to hunt them down. I mean, we're not lazy, but come on.
Well, it can just get lost in the wash.
Yeah, true. Yeah. We could think that's somebody else's picture, but it's yours, and we don't look at it again. Or it's like I said, just please do that. Because we're talking. Let's think about this on both the women's and men's side. Not only have we jumped up to another division, but we've added a totally new contest. So we were just managing one contest. Now we're essentially managing four.
Yeah. So I mean, there's just going to be a lot of picks.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff, and John already had to wipe his computer and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, let's not even talk about that. So I think we're good for today.
Yeah, pretty good, man. So yeah, basically, just to kind of recap again, 10 days away. Yeah, so you've got this. Don't try to go crazy. If you want to, add some low intensity stuff, feel free to do that. Yourself. I wouldn't try to go overboard, just like John and I were talking about. Manage the expectations. Again, you got to give yourself some slack. I mean, this is a skill. It's a learning process, and you just have to be aware of that. So don't beat yourself up. There's no need, because you'll get it. I mean, this isn't one of those things where people just don't get it. I mean, if you stick with us for long enough, you will get it.
Yeah, I described it in a forum thread of it's a controlled stumble forward. Is really what this is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up. Like no one does this clean straight through.
Sure.
I was even mentioning that I know about, there's a pro bodybuilder who skipped out on a show because he broke, like, he literally just cracked the night before the show and ate an entire pizza, and it totally washed out his look. So he just lied and said he got into it, like, mugged or something. And then years later, it was Flex Wheeler, and he admits that he's like, yeah, he admitted to his fans that, yeah, I just blew it the night before. So it's just a controlled stumble forward. And it's I heard a good phrase. The phrase is to fail forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you try stuff like Brad was saying, like 90% of the time we get stuff wrong, but that's, you have to keep trying stuff until something works. So it's okay to fail, but just fail forward. Like, learn from your mistake, just move forward. So it's okay to fall off the wagon, like, have a backwards day. Like, none of that stuff is, no one's perfect. Like, nobody does this stuff perfect straight through. Like, this stuff's really hard. So even the pros, like, that's why I brought up that example. Like, even the top level pros stumble and fall. So it's just a controlled stumble is all it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the more fun you have with it, the easier it'll get to. And I mean, it's already, like I say, like John said, it's a difficult proposition, no matter which way you look at it.
Otherwise everybody would be in perfect shape.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what makes it such a, so valuable. Again, I mean, if everybody had it, nobody would care.
Rare.
Yeah, it's tough, and yeah. And that's great. You know, it's a funny catch 22. It's tough, but thank God it's tough, because then everybody would have it.
Yeah,
you know, and so then you, there's no other way for you to distinguish yourself. And there's a lot to be said for, I mean, there's a lot that says about you for you to be able to do this, and people know. Again, so. All right. Well, you got anything else from Tunnel? God, nope. What did I just say?
You're just making up words now. That's enough.
Yeah. No. Do you have anything else you want to touch on?
No. I think we're good.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, like I say, 10 days. Keep everything moving forward nicely, and I guess.
Oh yeah. From now on, all positive days.
Yep. All positive days. Smile a lot, and we're good stuff. So, for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.